Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Hope you have a nice weekend planned. We're going to try and do our part with Film Week next hour, tell you about all the movies coming up, including the action comedy Stuber, about an Uber driver who picks up a cop in pursuit of a killer, and the drama The Farewell, which features comedic actor Awkwafina in the lead. And that's going to give rise to our feature portion of Film Week, in which we talk about some of the best performances in film history by comedic actors in straight dramatic roles. Later this hour, Netflix has told producers of its series and original movies to knock off the smoking. What'll that mean for the authenticity of period pieces like Stranger Things, set in the 1980s. But first, the open conflict among Democratic members of the House. Speaker Nancy Pelosi convened a meeting this week intended to rein in critical comments from the four congressional newcomers who've dubbed themselves the Squad. They are Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. Well, in her weekly press conference, Nancy Pelosi was asked about her relationship with the four fresh women just a day before Pelosi had held that private meeting.
What I said in the caucus yesterday got an overwhelming response from my members because they know what the facts are and what we're responding to. We respect the value of every member of our caucus. The diversity of it all is a wonderful thing. Diversity is our strength. Unity is our power. And we have a big fight, and we're in the arena. And that's all I'm going to say.
Pelosi was quoted from that meeting as saying, "You got a complaint, you come and talk to me about it. But do not tweet about our members and expect us to think that is just okay." But the four newcomers in Congress didn't take well to that. Ocasio-Cortez told the Washington Post, "When these comments first started, I kind of thought she was keeping the progressive flank at more of an arm's distance in order to protect more moderate members, which I understood. But the persistent singling out, it got to a point where it was just outright disrespectful, the explicit singling out of newly elected women of color." Well, President Trump was asked about the criticism of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
"I think that a group of people is being very disrespectful to her. And you know what? I don't think that Nancy can let that go on."
The president went on to say,
"And I'll tell you something about Nancy Pelosi that you know better than I do. She is not a racist, okay? She is not a racist. For them to call her a racist is a disgrace."
Now, technically, they didn't call her a racist, but certainly AOC's comments indicated that she thought the four were being criticized in a way that was insensitive, given that they're four women of color. Now, it's not uncommon for factions within a political party to duke it out over ideological and even stylistic differences. On the Republican side, we have the Tea Party and the Freedom Caucus, which have given plenty of grief to Republican House speakers. What is different about this one, though, is the racial component that's now been introduced by AOC. With me is Democratic strategist and former senior Obama advisor from 2008, Matt Rodriguez. Matt, good morning.
Hi, Larry.
Does the introduction of race in this make it somewhat different?
Well, remember, this wasn't just AOC introducing race. Her chief of staff had sent out an unbelievably inflammatory tweet. And I just want to read it just so that people understand. So after this vote had happened, you know, the new Democrats are and the Blue Dogs, those are sort of the more moderate caucus. And remember, the Democrats won a lot of seats in 2000. These are not all folks from Brooklyn or from very liberal districts like some of these from members
Katie
of the squad.
Porter. And we got right here in Southern California new members.
These are close races with voters that are not that far left. And he tweeted out after the vote, basically suggesting that two moderate groups, Blue Dogs and New Democrats, be called the new Southern Democrats. And he said, quote, "They certainly seem hell-bent to do to black and brown people today what the old Southern Democrats did in the 40s. I mean, that is, you know, when I worked in Congress, I worked for the Democratic leader, Dick Gephardt. This was back in the 90s. And there's plenty of fights around, you know, Gephardt wasn't 100% aligned all the time with Clinton. He was much more skeptical of trade than Clinton was. But some of these members have been working in Congress for a long time. I mean, they've been there 20 or 30 years. I mean, it'd be the equivalent of some young, maybe radio producer coming in here and being like, why does Larry Mantle pick those segments? He really doesn't know what he's doing. And you're like, I've been doing this for 35 years now. So I think, but then you add a racial component. I mean, to compare people to Dixiecrats, basically, of the 40s is enormously inflammatory for a body that depends on working together. And so it wasn't just AOC's comment in the Washington Post. It was her chief of staff, which, and that's a borderline.
Who kept the job?
That's a borderline fireable offense. I mean, you have to work with other people. That's the essence of the job. And that was an outrageous comment. And it's not even aimed at Republicans. It's aimed at his own Democratic caucus. So, look, there's a lot of bad blood, and we're in a very modern era where AOC is a little bit like a kind of Democratic Trump or Palin, where she gets a lot of attention and saying things that are inflammatory, and it creates a lot of news cycles. How effective those things actually are, and sometimes her facts are a little bit shaky, but her larger narrative seems to be what her supporters pick up on. And that can, having worked in that building, that can cause a lot of angst for members who've been there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and have worked
so
for this for a long time.
You suspect people aren't brushing this off. You suspect there's a lot of tension in the building.
Well, you can't say something like that and not have tension. That is really offensive. Although all that said, how and I don't know, I'm not there on a daily basis, how seriously they actually take her versus the sort of Twitter following, and I don't really know. And we talked about this, I remember last year. What is AOC really want to be? She's clearly got a certain talent. She clearly gets a lot of attention. But we live in an era where whether it's Twitter or Instagram or saying inflammatory things will get you a lot. It basically got the presidency of the United States. But the question is, how much does she want to legislate versus how much does she want to either advocate or kind of be a troll? And we live in a time where a lot of people do want to be a troll. And so we have to see it. To me, her time in office so far has been more on the troll side and the advocacy side. But that's the larger question she has to answer about her own career going forward.
Matt Rodriguez, Democratic strategist with us. Also with us, the vice president of Way to Win, a national donor and organizer network working for progressive causes, Nicole Boucher. Ms. Boucher, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry, and great to be on with you as well, Matt.
So what are your thoughts about the conflict? First of all, do you think it is damaging to the party?
You know, I think that the conflict is representative of the diversity of this country and the moment that we are in time right now with this Democratic Party. I think we've shown in terms of this last cycle what the base really is looking for, what the American people really want, and that is new, bold, progressive leaders, and that's women of color, women that have run for the first time in this country that had never even considered running before because they wanted to see real deep change, and they wanted to see leaders that were reflective of the communities that they're coming from, as well as being able to stand up for bold progressive policy that actually meets the moment of these times. I mean, we have urgent crisis on our hands on everything from border control to protecting the reproductive rights of women to climate change and the deep, deep urgency. And people on the ground want to see elected officials that are going to be responsive to that and be responsive to the atrocities that this administration is bringing to communities all across this nation.
The implication seems to me in AOC's comment about singling out of newly elected women of color is either that there are white members who are doing the same thing who get a pass, but the women of color don't. Or because they're non-white, they should get more latitude than more established white members would get. I mean, what is the logical extension of what she's saying?
I mean, here's the thing, that this squad is both as women, as individual women of color across this country and of their families and their communities are directly impacted by the atrocities that this Trump administration is bringing in, right? So you can look at things that are going on at the border. You look at the what's happening to Muslim communities across this country, and communities are under attack and families are under attack. And so I think the response that you're seeing from the squad on a number of issues is a response to that and actually a driving and a pushing of the Democratic Party to be really responsive and to go to the line for these communities that are being deeply impacted. And they're asking for a response from the Democratic Party. It is, you know, the Democratic Party made that commitment in 2018 that they would conduct a rigorous oversight of a corrupt, lawless administration. And that's exactly what AOC and the squad asked Pelosi and others to do.
We're talking with Nicole Boucher, Vice President of Way to Win, national donor and organizer network that advocates for progressive causes. I'd like to hear from you, if you are a Democrat, what do you think of the conflict between the House Speaker and the four freshman members of Congress known as the Squad? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Nicole, do you think that because the four are women of color, that Pelosi should treat them differently than she would other members, or do you think she is treating them differently?
I think that Speaker Pelosi well knows, from having been in a leadership position in our government for the last 30 years, the scrutiny that women come under running for office. I think you could even look at this debate and the kind of really gendered calls that are coming out about calling it catcalling or squabbles, when really what it is healthy debate. And it is exactly what we need for this democracy to work. So I think reflecting on her time in and what it meant to first come into office for these freshmen, being both women and women of color with different religious and racial ethnic backgrounds, they've come under intense scrutiny on a day-to-day basis. And I think that for Speaker Pelosi actually to come to the table, to sit down and look and have conversations with these women about the issues and the priorities that they're speaking up on, can only help advance the Democratic Party and advance and grow the base and the trust that the Democratic Party is in it for improving people's lives.
Nicole Boucher with us. Matt Rodriguez, Democratic strategist, joining us. 866-893-KPECC. Matt, is this healthy debate?
Well, I don't think when your chief of staff calls people in your caucus Southern Dixiecrats, it is. I will say, though, in some fairness to Pelosi, and frankly, even the Squad, they were put in a very difficult position. At the end of the day, McConnell had worked this, as he normally does, very well. Chuck Schumer in the Senate. He's not just thinking about his members, but he's got a big election in 2020, and you have to be very careful how these things work. And a lot of the moderate members really wanted to do something. They wanted to get some money down to the border. The scenes and the pictures that are coming out of the border are particularly bad. The bottom line is the Senate had leverage, and this is the system of government that we have. So they were either going to go to recess having done nothing, and they could try to hold it over the administration from a political point of view, or they could try to get something passed. So in a lot of ways, Schumer had put them in this position. Pelosi didn't have a lot of leverage at that point. And the fact is the progressives do not make up a huge, a majority. And so you have to do what you have to do. I do think this is being somewhat overblown. I think that the Freedom Caucus, which basically hounded out two speakers, Ryan and Boehner. If you remember, Republicans had run for health care. They'd won huge victories in 2010 and 14 and then 16. And then they get in there and said, we're finally going to repeal health care. And of course, they had no plan to do it because they had never actually had a policy to actually repeal and replace. They just sort of, and that kind of blew up. And that really, to me, much more than some of what Nicole's talking about, I agree with, although I think a lot of what happened was just bread and butter issues, which is why Democrats won big in 2018. It was health care and it was concerns around the president's just general attitude, and I think the dysfunction coming out of the White House.
But I would add strong moderate candidates as well to flip what had been Republican seats.
Well, and that's the issue that Pelosi's got to protect, which is, again, the Squad are from very safe seats. And look, this is not new, right? This is what you have. The Deep South members are much more conservative on the Republican side. Why? Because they win with 65% of the vote. It's much more challenging if you were a Northeastern member or a Republican or almost completely gone now. So if you're Max Rose, who's in New York, and it's a very close 50-50 seat, you can't operate like AOC. You just can't do it, or you're going to lose. And so this is the way our country is. It's been founded like this, and you're always going to have a little bit of push and pull in the caucuses. I think this will probably fade away. I do worry a little bit about adding a racial tension to this within your own Democratic caucus is problematic for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is those things can tend to linger for a long time just from a personal point of view.
We're talking with Matt Rodriguez, with Nicole Boucher joining us to talk about the conflict within the Democratic Party. We're at 866-893-KPECC. And there are very substantive parts of this, ideological differences. Particularly, I was just had CNN on in the studio, and they were showing polling on some of the issues that Democrats are running on, like allowing felons to vote. 75% of Americans are opposed to that. Providing government-backed health care to those who are in the country illegally, approaching 70-plus percent unfavorable that. So there's some real issues here that the Democratic Party is going to have to deal with in terms of public attitudes. But there also are big stylistic social media presentation differences here, too. We'll continue our conversation in 1 minute on Air Talk.
When you need the news.
You may have felt some shaking a bit ago.
I'd like to hear from you how you experienced the shaking tonight.
Keep your radio right here.
We had a magnitude 7.1.
A slow rolling sway.
The people are all safe.
I ain't gonna live like that. I can't live in fear.
There's a tremor now.
Go out and buy 1 gallon of water per person per day.
Don't be surprised if you feel another strong aftershock.
89.3 KPCC. LA News and NPR.
Good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're looking at the conflict within the Democratic Party between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the four new members of Congress who've dubbed themselves the Squad. They include AOC, as she's known, who's come out with critical comments about Nancy Pelosi, and particularly that the four new members of Congress who she's trying to temper their comments are women of color. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Kyrie in Riverside says, as a black man, I don't like the implication that AOC's chief of staff calling Pelosi a racist is worse than actually being a racist. I'm not saying Pelosi is racist, but we need to be able to talk about racism calmly and truthfully. It's okay to call people out. Kyrie, the only thing I'd say to that is that, you know, it's just an ad hominem attack unless you have something substantive you can point to. If you can show that people are being treated differently and you said, well, here's how white people were treated, here's how people of color were treated, it's not equitable, then you can have a discussion about it. But if you just throw the term out there, you label someone, where do you go with that? How do you talk about that? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org, or the Air Talk Facebook page, where Miguel writes, if the Squad can swing Democrats to the left, like the Freedom Caucus pulled Republicans to the right, then how is that a bad thing? I understand Speaker Pelosi is a great fundraiser and a shrewd strategist. However, her policy positions don't go far enough to lead the progressive push. That's Miguel writing on the Facebook page. Let's talk with Alexander in West Hollywood. Good to have you with us on Air Talk.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, I think this is indicative of a larger divide. And in terms of, you know, there was a Fox News poll, and they were shocked to find 73% of respondents, conservatives, were for Medicare for All. So when this kind of thing happens, I feel like we're at a point now where every time we're scared, watch out for Bush, or watch out for Trump, just settle, let's get whoever we can in there, and we've got Joe Biden, who just praised Dick Cheney a few weeks ago. This is going to anger the progressive Democrats, and we're at a time when we really do need substantial change, and in order to move the party back to the left, because the Clintons did move it to the right with a lot of their policies in the 90s. And so I feel like, yes, I understand the chief of staff's comment may have been out of line, but certainly AOC herself, Ayanna Presley, Ilhan Omar, nothing that they've said has been disturbing to me. And it's not about felons voting. It's about people who served their time and they paid the price, and now they should be allowed to vote. So it's also how those are framed, and we have to be careful how Trump and Republicans frame that, those questions, and make it out to be a bigger division than it actually is.
Alexander, I appreciate it very much. Matt, you want to quickly comment on Alexander's point?
Yeah, well, that's the argument. I mean, I think that that's the ideological frame. And in a lot of ways, what the presidential campaign, not to inject that here, but that's what that's being fought over, which Alexander's point is not an uncommon one, which is we must stand up for progressive values. And once we talk about it a certain way, voters will understand and they'll come our way. But you're still going to have another faction of the party that's going to be like, we say that every 4 years, and then that's really risky. And things like Medicare for All are risky. Things like open borders are risky. And so that's the ideological fight that we're having, and we're seeing it playing out right now on stage at the Democratic debates.
Nicole Boucher, I assume you largely agree with Alexander's points.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think, again, when we actually look, and what it comes down to is the merits of what is actually needed to improve people's lives in this country. So exactly this thing on 73% of conservatives and Fox News are all for Medicare. Like, these are the issues that we should be focusing on here, is actually, like, what are the tangible policy outcomes that we should be reaching towards and working toward together? And it's things like Medicare, it's things like climate change, it's things like reproductive justice and a number of other key core issues. And that is what people want to see our Democratic Party move forward on.
All right. Let me take another listener call. Let's see. We have with us Sandy in Anaheim. Sandy, good to have you with us. Your thoughts about the conflict within the Democratic Party.
I'm a Democrat now, but I was a staunch Republican. And what brought me to the Democratic Party is the bigger tent in which they are trying to address the systemic issues of what's really going on for everyday people. And they're not going to be walking in lockstep the way the Republican Party has become. And that was a major reason I left them, because, you know, Democrats are out there for health care. They're out there for you and I, the working class, you know, and you're going to have disagreements within the party. You know, no family is perfect, but it's okay. A healthy debate and a healthy disagreement is fine. But in the end, you know, most people do want some kind of progress, you know, progressiveness going on within the parties.
All right, Sandy, I appreciate it. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Diana, in Studio City, please share your thoughts about conflict between the House Speaker and the members of the Squad.
Hello, Larry. I am driving, so I'm sorry for the background noise.
That's right.
I am a millennial. I am Latin. I am an immigrant. However, Ocasio-Cortez and the Squad, they come up sometimes to me as bitter and angry instead of presenting more solutions. That is not the way you do things. The first day in the House, you start disrespecting Nancy Pelosi, which is a woman and a progressive and a pioneer. That is not the way you do things. For me, it is disrespectful, and they come out more as angry and attackers instead of just giving solutions. And I don't identify with them that much.
All right, Diana, appreciate your call. Nicole Boucher, you want to respond to Diana's point?
I think she said her name is Diana.
Diana, I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there are different approaches that need to be taken to move legislation forward. And I do think actually being able to speak up and speak out about actually what was happening at the border did enable some changes. So you saw Pramila Jayapal and others work on getting some of the concessions there to change some of the legislation. And I think at the end of the day, it wasn't enough, right? So it put too much power in the hands of the Trump administration that has already been like widespread abuses, and children are dying at the border. So I believe that we must continue to speak out, and that is the role of other folks in the legislature. I mean, I think very well, too, they knew that it was the four of them that was not enough to actually block the legislation moving forward. That wasn't the point. It actually was to reflect the public dissent of what people on the ground and people, their constituencies, were speaking out about.
All right. Let's take a comment from Tom in Glendale. Tom, you're on Air Talk.
One of the reasons that you get this tumult is the 24-hour news cycle, the Twitter, which is a change from before. What my brothers and sisters on the left do not remember or need to remember is left is a matter of degree. Back when we elected Harry Mitchell, who was the former mayor of Tempe in Arizona, he was a moderate, middle-of-the-road Democrat, but he replaced a right-wing Republican. It's the moderate Democrats that gave us the bulk vote to put Adam Schiff in as chairman of intelligence, to give us Nancy Pelosi as speaker. So left is a matter of degree. Everyone cannot elect someone in their district that looks like a West Los Angeles or a San Francisco liberal. I'm as hard left as anyone, as you know, Larry, but there needs to be pragmatism. That P needs to be added to the progressive movement. You can argue on the substance of an issue, but when it comes down to counting votes and getting something out of the House to get to the Senate and to hopefully in some cases embarrass the Senate, you need those Democratic seats that the hard left are never going to be able to hold.
Right.
We have to keep those seven flippables and get them reelected. And the hardest race for any member of the House is their first time up to get reelected, dealing with the 3-hour, the Thursday night, overnight, mid-late flights. So people need to remember that. You need to remember that left is a matter of where
all
you
right.
are, and it's the majority altogether that get us chairman of the committees, that get us the speaker.
All right, Tom, I appreciate it very much. Tom, longtime listener, and has called us many times on Air Talk, sort of a zealot of the Democratic Party. It's like he was there at every convention or event. Or Tom, a longtime listener to the program, 866-893-KPECC, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Hey, John writes on the Air Talk page, Will Rogers in 1935 said, I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Yeah. Almost 100 years later, here we are. That's Hey John writing on the Air Talk page. Let's see. Let's talk next with George in Newport Beach. George, your opinion.
Hi, good morning, Larry. Thanks. I just wanted to make a comment. I've been, you know, working for and contributing to the Democratic Party since 1972. So in part, I see what's going on in generational terms. And you know, what the squad is doing, every tweet that they issue, I think, is just fodder for the Fox machine and adds another 1,000 votes for the existential crisis that Trump is to our democracy and republic. And, you know, I think real progress is based on coalitions and teamwork and working together for the greater good, and as opposed to, you know, their own, frankly, somewhat selfish, self-centered kind of views of, you know, get behind me, and if you're not, then you're not. If you're not with us, you're against us. And I think that's is a great disservice to the far greater cause.
George, appreciate your call. Thanks very much. Barbara in Sherman Oaks, you're on Air Talk.
Yes, this is Barbara Drew Mashkin, and I'm calling. I'm as hard left as anyone, but the Democrats are a rainbow coalition. My cousin Danny Weiss was the chief of staff until a couple weeks ago for Nancy Pelosi. I totally believe in what Nancy Pelosi is doing. The only way we are going to save the Affordable Care Act is to vote them out, to vote out the administration that's in now. And, you know, I also agree that the hard left has to join the center. And it's the center right now. It's the white male working class that, you know, those votes are going to vote the administration out now. And if we just impeach, we're going to still have Pence, and we're going to lose the Affordable Care Act and insurance to 20 million people. And so I think Nancy Pelosi she got the Affordable Care Act in. She knows what she's doing.
You think she should be deferred to? Barbara, I appreciate it. Jeannie in the Pico Robertson District says the voters in this country vote left or right. We all want an effective leader. We're sick of the status quo. We want representatives who will actually represent the people. That's why there's the rebellion in Congress. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Let me go back to Nicole Boucher, VP of Way to Win, the National Donor and Organizer Network. Do you think that this open disagreement is likely to continue, or do you think there's apt to be a truce?
I mean, I think that this is a healthy debate that actually needs to continue, and I would actually disagree that this is not a coalition that is working towards a greater good together. I mean, you can look at the squad. I mean, each one of them backed her up as Speaker of the House. They voted in line, I think, the majority of the time with Pelosi and others in the party. And I think it's actually presenting a false choice here that we have to choose between, is the party going to go left and progressive, or is it going to go moderate? I think that this is a question about base expansion. And I think you can look back at the last cycle, and we have our largest growing demographies in this country is young people of color. And you can look and see the way that this party has expanded because of that and because of candidates like this. And I think that you can actually look at places races, even when there was a swing vote and there was a moderate candidate at the top of the ticket, there were down ballot races there that people of color came out for and expanded the voter electorate on that. So I think that we can't just focus on what's happening at the top of the ticket, what to happen in 2020. We need to look at what young people and people of color on the ground care about and what is going to drive and expand the electorate in places like Texas and Arizona and Florida and Georgia.
Nicole, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Matt Rodriguez, just quick closing, you think this is going to stay with us?
No, I don't think so. I think this is mostly a kind of debate over theatrics and rhetoric. And so I think you remove that, you're always going to have disagreements. I think this disagreement would have remained somewhat, would have been a one-day story had it not been for some of the inflammatory tweets. You get those out of there, and I do think the Democrats are actually more unified relative to where they are now than where the Republicans were, who just couldn't get themselves on board and were bouncing speakers one after the other with the House Freedom Caucus. So I don't think this is as existential a threat as people are making it out to be. I think it's mostly a degree of performance and theatrics.
All right, Matt, thanks very much. You're going to be with us Monday again, aren't you?
I'll be here.
All right, we got you on speed dial. Matt Rodriguez, Democratic strategist. Nicole Boucher, Vice President of Way to Win. You're listening to Wear Talk on 89.3 KPCC Film Week. Coming up at 11, a lot of movies to review. And coming up next, we'll take a look at Netflix's original films and their TV series. Netflix says cut out the smoking. What's that going to mean for period series like Stranger Things? More to come right after a live update from Hedy Lynn Herdes.